Welcome back, everybody, to the 2022 season finale of Championship Week Video Notebook. We may have a cliffhanger. We're going to have a cliffhanger at the end of the show. Is that the way?
I believe so. Yeah.
It is.
We're going to have a cliffhanger
13.
In the A10 tomorrow.
Yeah.
It is day 13, our final night of our video notebooks. Tomorrow is Selection Sunday, or today, because it's 1:45 a.m. already Eastern.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Chad.
Well, no, Chad. It's 12:45. We turn the clocks back. Remember.
No, it doesn't happen until 2 a.m. It's actually, we're going to start the show at 1:45 and probably end it at 1:30. So
yeah, we're turning the clocks back.
Oh, no, wait, back forward. What are we in? I don't know what we're doing here.
I don't know, but last year
you told me. It's going to be a long show. We're going to be ending the show around 3:30. It's going to be one of our longest shows.
No, last year you told me I was 2 hours late.
I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Grace. John Slico with us as well. Let's start with news and notes. Frank Haith out at Tulsa, and more importantly, Salika, LSU fired Will Wade on the eve of the NCAA tournament.
We had a feeling this probably was going to be coming once we learned that the notice of allegations came from the new board that's going to be handling these cases. I didn't think it was going to happen during the SEC conference tournament, though. But as we know, LSU is still going to be participating in the NCAA tournament.
But Drew, the allegations, when you read through some of them, what was out there from them, I mean, I didn't know this stuff was out there for ages, is beyond me. But I mean, they've got text messages showing him clearly. Well, the text messages allegedly showing that he was making cash offers for players.
Yeah, it was pretty damning. And if it wasn't, they wouldn't have gotten rid of him. I mean, I haven't sifted through it or spent hours looking at the file, but this is sort of, it's what you do when you're trying to mitigate the situation. And I think that that's what LSU's trying to do here. And the question out there is, and maybe it doesn't, are any current players involved? Are any current players going to be, you know, declared ineligible down the line and LSU penalized further for using ineligible players after receiving the notice of allegations? So while LSU will probably participate, will they have their full roster? I hope they do.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything else. I think it mostly has to do with players that are not at the school. This was years ago that this stuff happened. So just how slow the system works. But, is LSU even going to be a tournament eligible next year? Probably not. I'm glad they actually are staying tournament eligible because these kids here had nothing to, were blameless.
Yeah, they had nothing to do with it.
Let them play this year. If you know going into the season next year, you're ineligible. At least the kids know at the start of the season so they can make their decisions on transfers and the like. Let's get right to the games on the court, though. If we can get the screen share to work, we're going to kind of go through the order that games were played today. So we'll start things off in the America East. Well, let's start with the championships, though. But early morning, Slika, America East championship game. You weren't with us last night, but we predicted the game would be over about 5 minutes in, and David and I were right, were we not?
No, you were incorrect because it was over as soon as they tipped the ball off. And then the next 2 or 3 minutes seemed to be more of a formality here.
Yeah, Vermont just cruised here. I don't know if there's much more to discuss. I think it's a dangerous team in the NCAA tournament, though.
Very dangerous. I'm glad they got through it. I mean, UMBC, a strong team through the tournament, but this Vermont team is—they're built to where they can win a game in the round of 64.
The second conference tournament championship of the day was the MEAC championship, where Coppin State had a shot to go into the NCAA tournament at 10-22, which had been the fewest wins in the modern era and the most losses of all time for a tournament team. They kept it close for a half, I think, Griggs, but then Norfolk turned it on.
Yeah, Norfolk just opened it up. They were the better team. They were clearly the better team and probably the most deserving team in the conference. They're the ones that we were sort of the biggest on all year long, getting it done in their home city. And congrats to them. They have a pretty good history in the MEAC at or near the top of the standings a lot, but it's been a while. It seems like they've had some trouble getting through the conference tournament, but they did this year.
Yep. John, in the Metro Atlantic, we had the Battle of Jersey here, the Monmouth-St. Peter's battle, and this was a pretty good game.
I I don't know how much of a battle it was at the beginning of the game because it took a while for the teams to get out of the sand.
Now it was 1-0 5 minutes in, I think. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, they hit a home run into the deep part of a Boardwalk Hall. But once they got settled in, St. Peter's seemed to ultimately get the edge in this one.
Yeah, so the Peacocks are into the NCAA tournament as well. Congrats to them. Nice showing, I thought, today against Monmouth, which was a team that started off the season really strong, kind of faltered in the middle of the season, and at least made that run to the finals. But the big story was Ryder knocking off Iona and messing up his entire bracket.
Right.
Griggs, let's go to this one of the major conferences. One of the better games of the day was the Kansas-Texas Tech Big 12 Tournament Championship game.
Yeah, it was close all throughout. It was back and forth. Kansas getting the win and finishing off a really good run in this tournament where, you know, knocking off TCU, who is probably going to be in the top half of the bracket, and then knocking off a protected seed on a neutral floor. Arguably, at least on paper, Kansas's best win of the year today.
Oh, it was a nice win for Kansas, absolutely. And it's a Kansas team that I know you may not agree with it, Griggs, but I think we're going to see them on the one line absolutely at this point.
I think we will.
They pulled the double in the Big 12.
In the Big 12. I think the committee will do it. And one of my biggest gripes was no wins away from home against teams in the top half of the bracket. Well, they just beat a protected seed away from home. So really good win for them.
Salika, Mountain West Championship game. Here was a hell of a game between Boise and San Diego State.
And it also turned out to be probably the quietest double that we'll have this year, with Boise State clinching both the regular season as well as the conference tournament right here, despite having two games that were within 2 points, and their biggest blowout was the 7-point win against Wyoming.
Yeah, but this was a great finish here. San Diego State had multiple shots at the end, like two or three at least, to win it, and open shots too. Nothing went down, and so Boise State somehow won this event. It was a hell of a finish, though. Griggs, I know you were watching intently the SWAC game every single minute of it.
Spectacular, yeah.
Absolutely blowout by Texas Southern over Alcorn State, as we kind of thought would happen.
Yeah, I don't know if I expected it to be that much of a blowout, but Texas Southern, probably the strongest, well, clearly the strongest team in the conference, moving on, no trouble. Congratulations to them.
They kind of, after their tough game they got from Jackson State in the first round, they rolled the semis and the championship.
Yeah, they did.
But it's every year Texas Southern wins this event, even if they're not the number one seed, and here they are again. Remember last year coming into this event, both Jackson State and Prairie View had both gone undefeated in conference play because they had not faced each other on a COVID-shortened season, and Texas Southern still won this conference tournament. So.
This was also a little bit more aesthetically pleasing than the conference that just we're about to pull up right here.
Yeah, the Big East tournament. And Salika, you want to talk about that 1-0 Metro Atlantic game. How about this this beautiful game when Nova started out 7-0, up 7-0, but by halftime it was 19-18 at the half.
I think even Gus Johnson had already tuned out to listen to the Big 12 as well as a preview of the ACC title game, judging by his in-game commentary.
Yeah.
But David, it got better in the second half. Go ahead, Villanova.
Yeah, it really did. Villanova, probably the better team, even though they weren't the first place team in the conference, winning the conference tournament. And a good tournament for Creighton. I mean, today it was, it was a game that kind of made your eyeballs bleed a little bit. But getting a win over a Marquette team and then another big win over a Providence team, I think Creighton still helped themselves out a lot this week.
I think they really proved to the committee that they should not be dinged one bit from missing Nemhard because they can win without him.
Yes, I agree. I think this was a very good tournament for Creighton.
Mid-American Conference, a little bit of news. After Kent State won last night and got scheduled to meet the wagon wheel rivals Akron, a couple of Kent State players in the locker room decided to record a video. Led by DJ Johnson, who's a fairly that doesn't get many much time, but joined by Malik, I forget his last name, but he's their second best player, top scorer. What's their second best player's name?
It's late. Just watch another show.
Whatever. Anyhow, they decided to do a little video where they sang a song about their exact feelings about Akron.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play the video, but it was...
And nor can we repeat the title of the song that was used either.
Yeah.
But, it was F something, something, something Akron. repeatedly.
Yeah. Which I don't... Like, they did it in the locker room. I don't... If there's an appropriate place for something like that, I think it is in the locker room. The issue was that they posted it on the internet. Yeah, you kind of got to wonder.
It was Malik Jacobs was one of the players involved there.
Yeah.
And the Mac came down and DJ Johnson, who led the show, was suspended indefinitely. The other three guys involved were all had to sit out the first half today. It was stupidity, though, to post it.
A locker room, a team locker room, there should be an expectation of privacy. I mean, my God, it's where people, you know, take a dump, change clothes, and shower. And
take a dump. Come on.
Yeah.
It is definitely late.
It is definitely late. But, like, I could understand that happening in that setting. I think that what really sent it off the rails was that someone posted it on the internet.
Kent State shorthanded. Akron just kind of rolled over them in this game.
Akron was up 10 at halftime because of the suspended players, although Kent State never really seemed to get on track even after that. They got as close as 6, but didn't get any closer the rest of the way. And a rare romp for Akron in a title game. And also congratulations to John Gross, who will now be going to the NCAA tournament with his third team, as he's gone before with OU and Illinois.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the Zips. They are in the NCAA tournament. Let's see here. It was championship day in the Big Sky, Griggs. Montana State. This is what we predicted would happen last night, and it did happen.
Yeah, rolled Northern Colorado. Real impressive showing today and really all throughout. So I don't know if they're built to win a game in the round of 64, but you know, still a fantastic season for Montana State. Their first NCAA tournament since we looked this up. I can't remember. It's been a while.
It was the mid-90s that they last won.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a while. Congratulations to the Bobcats. Great season.
A big party from Bozeman down to Billings.
I mean, yep. I don't think they have any shot in the first round. They're probably going to be a 15 seed, but they're going to get to go to the big dance.
But they're there, yeah.
ACC championship game, and Virginia Tech was going to be clearly a bubble team had they lost this game, and some of us thought on the wrong side, other people thought on the right side. Salika, it doesn't matter because they beat Duke, and they beat Duke. I mean,
well, not to mention they also beat Duke at their own game. I think they ended up hitting 11 of 21 from behind the arc, and Duke never got on track. They must have been 3 for 19 throughout the game. Hokies kept putting together a bigger run in the second half and blew it open just like they did against Carolina. Ironically, their closest game was the escape against Clemson in the second round.
That is ironic, isn't it? Like, they almost got put out in that game, and I remember thinking, okay, like, this will settle all debate. Virginia Tech is through, and they're not getting in, and now they're the ACC champions. They cut down the nets. What a run. Wow.
Yep, they're in. They will not be going to Dayton in the first four, an automatic bid winner. You cannot go to Dayton. So congrats to the Hokies. I mean, this is the kind of team we were watching all season. Like, that net is really weird, but the resume doesn't match up. Well, they proved they were a pretty darn good team this week, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. I mean, blowing out, especially, and they just got incrementally better. I mean, they blew out a good North Carolina team.
Griggs, you got to talk a little bit quicker here. According to the clock in the bottom corner there, that just took an hour for you to make that comment.
Oh, my God. Well, it was quite a run. It was a run.
We just went from 1:59 to 3 a.m. somehow. Anyhow, though, Virginia Tech moves on. Coach K loses his regular season finale at home, loses the ACC championship game. Let's see how his last game ends in the NCAA tournament. Conference USA championship game. We said all season that this UAB team could not win 3 games in 3 days. I was wrong. I'm going to admit I was wrong. I bought into the theory that they couldn't do it, and they proved me completely wrong. Not only winning 3 in 3 days, throwing a triple overtime in there, the Blazers and Andy Kennedy Sleeka onto the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, this was a game where it seemed like Louisiana Tech was kind of make a run a little bit late and got as close as 5 or 6. They never got any closer the rest of the way.
They didn't. So congrats to UAB. David, Pac-12 championship game. This game was closer than an 8-point final score.
Yeah, UCLA had a lead. It was always close. It was played within a close window, but it seemed like UCLA had control for about the first half. Then Arizona got it in the second half and then stretched it out at the very, very end. But Arizona's on their way to the one line. I don't know if they'll be the overall number one or not. I still think it'll be Gonzaga, but they'll hands down be on the one line, probably as the number two overall. And what a year for the Wildcats. This is a team that could win it all. They really could.
Now, being behind Gonzaga, that means they're not going to be in the West region. They're probably heading to the South region, San Antonio, yeah, for their
San Antonio, which isn't, you know, too bad of a place to go.
Southland Conference Championship game. Sleeka, somebody has to be the number 68 team on the 1-68 seed list. I think we have them right here in the Corpus Christi Islanders.
They might be number 68 based on their play on the basketball court, but if you saw their jerseys, they're probably number one in my book.
Yeah, I if people pick winners because they like the uniforms, a lot of people will be picking Corpus Christi.
They had some great new uniforms out there, Ted. I don't know if they've been using them all season or not. Yeah. Honestly, haven't watched much Corpus Christi basketball.
Yeah. There was a stretch where we were watching
To the extent I was following anyone most of the season was Nichols and New Orleans at this conference. So, but congrats. Corpus Christi was a team we liked at the start of the season as being one of the top teams of the conference. They got it done when they needed to. They picked up 3 wins in 3 days here. And so they are in the NCAA tournament and on their way to Dayton as a 16 seed.
And that won't be the first time we mentioned that in regards to A&M.
It was the WAC championship game tonight, Stalika. New Mexico State, Abilene Christian. Abilene Christian was playing their fourth game in 4 days, and I think it kind of showed.
Yeah, unlike the women's side where Stephen F. Austin was able to win the inaugural WAC title after coming over from the Southland, Abilene Christian not quite able to pull off a similar feat right here.
Yeah, New Mexico State, Griggs, is a very dangerous team in the NCAA tournament too, I think.
The fact that
they lost a game to Chicago State this season.
Yeah, golly. But yeah, I completely agree.
So let me stick with you, David. It was the game that just ended right before we started the show here. A great game and a great finish between Long Beach State and Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah, a little heat between these two teams. It is a bit of a rivalry, so it was kind of fun to see them square off. Both had really good years, the top two seeds in the conference. Beach had a lead, and then, you know, Fullerton came back, and then they got a lead, and then Beach came back. And it was just like, you know, both teams were making big play after big play after big play. And then Long Beach makes a good defensive play and gets the ball at the very end with a chance to make a big play. And Chad, that last play was not a big play.
Yeah, they had about 15 seconds, and there was passes, movement, turnover. Balls away, game ends, no shot even got off.
No shot taken, yeah.
Very disappointing end to the season for the Beach.
Prior to that, Beach had hit a three-pointer to cut it to one, even forced a five-second violation before Fullerton could get the timeout. But unfortunately, they threw it past along the baseline that got intercepted, and even then, Fullerton couldn't quite put it away until the clock hit triple zeros.
So congrats to the Titans back in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
There are some conferences that went semifinals still today, though. And let's start with the Ivy League. Ivy Madness. It began with the Princeton-Cornell game, where Princeton looked in the first half like they were just going to dominate this game.
Yeah.
Cornell came storming back, really made it close here. At the end of the day, Princeton does get the win. They're going to be going up facing Yale, who also got a tough fight from Penn most of the way here, Griggs.
Yeah. So both games really exciting. But, yeah, like you said, it was kind of surprising because I thought Princeton was going to roll. Then they were rolling, and then, you know, they really, really had to sweat that one out. Just missed. Yale did kind of get control at the end, but it looked for a minute like we were going to have the Princeton-Penn rivalry in the championship game, that would have been great.
Tosin Ifeoma was great for Princeton today. They get Yale tomorrow, Stalika. Who do you think wins this game?
And this one, I'm, as much as Tytel doesn't want to hear it, I'm going with Princeton right here.
I do agree with you. I picked Yale at the start. I'm going to stick with my Yale pick on this. But Princeton, despite having a battle today, I think they're going to respond. And if I could change my pick, I would.
Yeah.
SEC and Texas A&M heading into the tournament. We said, well, they're an interesting team if they beat Florida. Maybe they're in. Maybe they're out. Then they get Auburn, and we said, you know, if they beat Auburn, I think they're in, and they did.
Yeah.
Then we said if they beat Arkansas, it's over, and they beat Arkansas, and I don't think it matters what happens tomorrow against Tennessee. Griggs, Texas A&M blew out Arkansas today. I think this is easily an NCAA tournament team, no doubt about it. Now,
yeah, I mean, as far as their seeding, it matters a lot if they beat Tennessee, but as far as their selection, they're in. And you might hear this stuff, oh, the committee, they don't look at the Sunday games. You know, it's too late. They got to get the bracket together. No, they do. They will. This is, they look at it, and if it changes the complexion of a team's profile, which this would for A&M, it probably wouldn't for Tennessee one way or another, but it would for A&M. It will make a difference where they end up. They've submitted as many as 8 brackets to the network before for contingencies on the last day. So don't make the mistake of thinking they're just not going to watch this.
And this is a 1 o'clock game, not
and it's a 1 o'clock game anyway. Yeah.
Stalika, the late game, Tennessee really led Kentucky most of the way here. It was a lot bigger blowout, I think, than that final score. Tshiebwe was in foul trouble the entire game. Kentucky had 1 bench point and was 2 for 20 from 3-point range in this game. Lousy game by Kentucky, honestly.
And only lost by 7.
Only lost by 7. But now we got Tennessee and A&M tomorrow. What do you think?
Well, for Tennessee, that's going to be 2 out of 3 against Kentucky. I don't think they're going to vault him overall in the seed list unless they're able to somehow win convincingly against Texas A&M. I wouldn't count on that happening based on how both teams have been playing right here.
Just like this program's come a long way. I mean, 10 years ago, who'd have ever thought we'd have been talking about Texas A&M winning the SEC?
Stalika, A-10 semifinal day. Davidson absolutely destroyed St. Louis, I thought. Ayton was doing the same thing to Richmond until Malachi Smith got injured, and then the game completely turned around, and Richmond ends up pulling off the upset to move on to play Davidson in the title game tomorrow.
If you saw Richmond playing Dayton during the regular season, it was close but no cigar for the Spiders as they lost on a last-second shot against the aforementioned Flyers. But this time, Richmond did have a revenge on their minds and were able to outlast the Flyers, who didn't look good at all in the tournament this weekend.
Yeah. And they really didn't.
We have the potential bid thief here coming up tomorrow. Davidson, everyone believes that they are solidly in at this point. Should Richmond win this game, though, somebody is going to be knocked out from the bottom of the field.
Yeah.
So that's the game. That's probably the most important game for all the bubble teams tomorrow. There are going to be a lot of Davidson fans across the nation. American, it was semifinal day. Houston didn't have much trouble at all with Tulane. SMU-Memphis, though, Griggs, was a very good game. Back and forth. Memphis had looked like they were controlling the first half. SMU came all the way back for a lead. But at the end of the day, Memphis got the win.
Yeah, and I do have to mention this. It's something that we don't like mentioning. This was a really important game between really good teams, and you wanted to see it played at a high level. And there were times it was, but it was not officiated at a high level at all. There was no flow. There was no consistency. It wasn't so much bad calls as it was inconsistent calls and lots of replay. And it just, I think it impacted both teams and it made it very frustrating to watch. I wanted to motion those officials off of our nomination board today, but SMU, I think that they're probably out. We did not select them. We'll get to that here in a second. There's still a case to be made for them. Maybe the committee will take them, but I think if there was any doubt about Memphis, I think they've done enough.
Yeah. Houston, Memphis tomorrow. Stalika, who do you got?
I'm going to stick with my pick and go with Memphis right here to remove any doubt they might have of getting into the field. Although we would have them in at this point.
Yeah.
The last game that's going to be played tomorrow before the selection, the last game that should probably go final is the Big Ten Tournament Championship games at 3:30 PM. Tip. Let's talk about the semifinals, though, today, where the second game, Purdue had the lead most of the way. Michigan State kept trying to make runs, just could never quite get there, and Purdue advanced. But the first game between Indiana and Iowa was an amazing game. Indiana had a 9-point lead early. Iowa came back, and Jordan Bohannon with a three, pretty much at the buzzer in a tie game to win this one for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous shot from, I guess, about 40 feet away that banked in.
I was gonna say the best thing that happened in this game, though, was no strength and conditioning coaches got ejected.
Yeah. So yeah, we've seen some ridiculous things, haven't we, this week?
It's also funny to think that just about a month ago we were kind of having a lot of question marks about Iowa. They have completely removed those question marks in the span of the past 3 weeks here.
Yeah, in the span of the past 48 hours, really.
Yeah, with the wins over Northwestern, Rutgers, Indiana now. How about their chances against Purdue tomorrow?
Great. Not great, but not zero either. I think Purdue is going to end up winning this, assuming that they want, you know, that they show up and take it seriously, which I can't imagine why they wouldn't. If Purdue does win this, they have a case for a one seed. I don't know that they'll get it. I think that they should, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did, but I could also see them not getting it. So there is quite a bit to play for if you're Purdue. Iowa.
I think their case was only if Kansas had lost today, but I don't think they can get there.
Right. And for Iowa, they're playing for seeding. And again, it is a late tip, but it will be considered. There will be a contingency for it. Beating Purdue away from home changes the complexion of the profile, and the committee will prepare accordingly, even if it means submitting, a contingency bracket or two or three brackets to the network.
Right. The committee will look at it and say, well, if Iowa wins, would their seed line change? And if they think it would, they would submit multiple brackets. If they don't think it would, then there'll only be one. And let's go now to our that was it for all the games today and all the games tomorrow. Only five games left here to finish up the season before we get to the NCAA tournament. But let's go to our survival board. This is our NCAA tournament survival board. It's a tool we do for the selection committee where we categorize teams in different ways here. We color code them in different ways. We've got, for example, we can see here, let's scroll down a bit, Longwood. Big South champions. They are bold, all caps and in blue. If the committee is trying to figure out who is in or not, ask if Longwood is in or not. Griggs, they say.
Yeah, they're in. They won the conference championship and they're in blue. Most importantly, they're in blue.
What if they're talking about, let's say, Illinois? Illinois is not going to win the Big Ten championship. They want to know whether or not Illinois is in.
Well, they're also in because while they didn't win the championship, they are in blue. So they know to select them.
What if they were coming here and they were wondering about a team like, Florida Atlantic?
Well, you wouldn't. I mean, and that's a good question because they probably do come here thinking, well, what about it? What about Florida Atlantic? Like, I like them. They've got a crazy looking court. We should select them because of their crazy looking court. But then you see that they can't. Because they're crossed out.
Florida Atlantic is actually pretty normal compared to their neighbors.
I'm thinking of Florida International. My apologies to the Owls. I was thinking of Florida International. Yeah.
What if they're wondering about the Oregon Ducks?
I mean, that's one, and this is where it gets challenging, and this is what we can't do for the committee. We do a lot for them, but there are teams where they're going to just have to look at them and discuss and debate and decide on their own. We do let them do that.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out here now how many teams were left. This was yesterday before we started. So there's a few things that have changed. For example, Arizona will be in bold and all caps now. But this is where we were heading into the day today. Let's go on up here. Today we had only
one team.
Yeah.
That's it. Championship week's over.
All right. Wow.
My note said there were 97 teams left. I don't know why it says that only Carver Bauer is. Well, let's see what happened as a result of today's games. Teams remain. That is going to go.
Yeah.
That will only go down. That will definitely go down to 82 based on the Ivy League. If Richmond loses, it'll go down to 81. That's what the committee's going to have to choose, a field of 68 out of that 81.
And, you know, 32 are going in right away. Mm-hmm. So what does that leave? Like 81 minus 32 is 49 teams for 36 spots.
Yep.
Is my Griggs math right there?
That's close enough for me, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's check it out what our mock committee did today.
We were busy today. Wow.
Yeah, we've got a lot done here. All the auto bids were, all the at-large bid spots were filled, all the way down through Wyoming being our last at-large team in. We have one contingency team if Richmond should win tomorrow. Notre Dame is out. If Richmond loses, Notre Dame is in. Our top four teams out were Oklahoma, Xavier, BYU, SMU. We've also seeded and began scrubbing the seed line. Salika, what else did I miss that we did here?
Well, I should make a distinction right here. When we did our voting for the teams that were getting in, Oklahoma was actually the last team that was a contingency, but because of Virginia Tech's win in the ACC title game, the Sooners got knocked out. The Hokies would have been number three on our top four out had they lost to Duke.
Yeah, Virginia Tech we did not have in. We had them one of the first teams out, but doesn't matter. They're in now. You can see some teams there in red. Actually, that versus Fullerton or Beach, that just because it just went five right before we started, that should now say Fullerton only. Yeah. But we'll this will be completed by tomorrow. We will be posting on the website. Look for it. The final bracket probably around 5:30 or so tomorrow afternoon. Once all the games go final, maybe a little bit earlier than that if we decide that we're not going to do any contingencies.
Yeah, which we might, because we will leave that up to the committee.
Yeah. How about our season finale of the Rivalry Creator?
Oh, okay. I'm going to miss is this our rivalry thing. We could have done this all year long.
This is something that we do. We create rivalries for people. And Salika, I know you weren't with us last night. You missed one of the good ones we created last night, the Niagara and Hawaii. This was very popular on the internet today.
Yeah, I got to hear that live on tape delay while the America East and the Ivy League games were going on earlier this afternoon.
It was Niagara and Hawaii in the
Purple Rain.
Yes, it's the Purple Rain game.
Yeah.
we've got a few more rivalries that we were requested to look into here. And I actually want to go back to another one that we had heading into the season, actually. I believe Salika was one of the ones you had created. But very famous rivalry that we have here is the Brown and Dartmouth rivalry, right?
Yes, Brown and Dartmouth.
We got to spell Dartmouth correctly.
Yeah, and we didn't get this in the tournament this year. I was hoping for it, but like...
Neither one even qualified for the Ivy League tournament, but that is the famous Brown Mouth Cup.
Yeah, the Brown Mouth Cup.
A battle between two teams that are 8 miles apart, never made the NCAA tournament, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, No tournament appearances, and they're 8 miles apart. Man,
I don't think they've ever geographic met the academic before.
Now, I got a little bit of flack earlier. This, I think it was beginning of championship week, maybe like the first or second day that we did this, because I was asked what happens with Austin Peay and Dartmouth matchup.
Yes.
And you know, maybe we should have done this. The computer didn't do a very good job.
The computer, like, yeah. The Peay Mouth Cup.
It's kind of bad. I mean, I admit that. You know, the computer's not perfect. But right. I was asked to find a better rival for Dartmouth than the Peay Mouth Cup.
Well, the problem is, I think the computer also generated a music video for Akron, and that didn't turn out well at all.
Yeah.
Oh. But so we look around, and when I said, well, instead of them playing Austin Peay, they should play South Carolina.
Oh, God. Yes. So this
South
is
Carolina, the South Carolina Gamecocks against Dartmouth. What? What?
I'm no computer scientist, but I have an idea where this might be going.
Can we do it? Should I not hit the button?
Oh, of course you should do it.
Carolina Gamecocks against Dartmouth. I mean, what could go wrong here? Let's do it. Why not? Of course it is the Dart game.
Oh, okay.
What did you think it was going to be? Come on. We're a family show.
Well, yeah, the Dart game. Okay, yeah, that's a better... Wow.
let's go to final thoughts, Salika.
It's hard to believe that we're going to be less than 24 hours from Selection Sunday. Let's just hope we never go back to the process back in 2018 where we had to name at-larges in alphabetical order. Now, granted, this year, that would have actually created some suspense because Xavier is... obviously going to be very squarely on the bubble. We actually had them out, for example, but imagine waiting till the bitter end to find out, did they make it in?
Yeah.
Griggs, you want to finish us off?
Yeah, I just can't believe, you know, another championship week has basically come to an end. We have a few, final pieces to work out tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to be on tomorrow night or Monday night. I forget which, but it won't be 3 a.m. But despite the fact that it's 3 a.m. and that we're all exhausted, this is a lot of fun for me every year. The whole season is. I really... when we start firing up the preseason shows in October, it's like, okay, we've got Hoops HD back and I love it all year long, but I've, as late as it's been, as little sleep as we've gotten, this has been another great championship week.
It has.
And I should also add one more final thought on top of that. Once we're done with Selection Sunday, then Chad goes straight to work on his AC8 field for 2022.
Yeah. Speaking about the AC8 field, it is a tournament that we run. We are going to be back. We're not doing anything tomorrow night. We'll play content on the website, but no podcast tomorrow night. Yeah. Monday night, we'll be back with our NCAA tournament special. We're going to be reviewing what the committee did, telling you what they got right, telling you what they got wrong. We're going to be going ahead and giving you our picks. And we will be revealing the AC8 field Monday night. So tune in Monday night. But on that note, we also have podcasts once a week throughout the tournament. Then we'll be once a month when we get to the off season. But on behalf of John Slica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you again Monday night.